Glad to be here tonight. It's a real privilege to be here under the tent. We've had several nights meetings so far, and the Lord has blessed us, and it has been a privilege every night that we've ministered. Things have been primitive for a number of nights, and things still aren't in order like we'd like to have, but we're getting things together enough to where we can kind of tell what we're doing. We encountered a number of problems that it's just a usual routine, you know, when you're setting a tent. But here we run into some hard ground, and it's been a real problem in getting some stakes in the ground. It's took quite a bit longer than it ordinarily would have taken. We have run into places where we had to use a jackhammer. We haven't had to go to that extreme yet, but it has been real difficult to be able to do what we needed to do with our stakes. But I thank the Lord for the patience of the people. There's quite a number of the people that have been very patient. They've come out and they were willing to bear with us and work with us until we could do something to be able to get the tent erected and get everything fastened down. They were very considerate. We've had quite a turnover in this meeting. We've had a lot of new faces in just the two or three nights that we've been here. And the Lord has sent out quite a number of people just in the two or three nights in the turnover. Our meetings are not organized, as I said last night. We do not organize meetings to come to a place to assure us of a congregation. We come strictly by faith without as much as one church backing our meeting, so that we can preach what the Lord tells us to preach and God can send who He wants to send. And this way we can tell the truth and speak the gospel of Christ freely. When you organize, you are under bondage to walk according to the order of those that have convictions in certain things. And you have to make agreements that you will not encroach upon this right or that right or another right. And by the time you finish, you just don't have a leg to stand on in the sense of being able to preach the gospel. You just can't do anything. You're so bound until you don't know what to do. But that doesn't mean that all of the brothers or the brotherhood of organized religion are bad. It certainly doesn't mean that, because we have brothers that love God and they are in the organizations and they're in organized religion. Of course, as a consequence of being in those things, a lot of times they're in bondage and they can't do like they'd like to do. I know this for sure because I have been along the same trails that they're traveling, and I know some of the brethren, and I know their feelings. I know what they think and how they feel. And it really makes it bad for them. But they are so interested in the welfare of the people and trying to do something for God. They get a lot like the Jews did in the early church age. They get to where they are afraid to venture out from the synagogues or the teachings of the synagogues in any way, and that they'll be turned out of the synagogues. So for fear of the organized brotherhood, they won't do anything in really stepping out and pressing the issue for Christ. Therefore, I appreciate people like yourselves tonight, that whether you are in a organization or whether you are non-denominational, whatever, that you would venture out to hear for yourself what we are preaching and what we stand for. You know, there's so many people, they are so quick to judge. Whereas the Bible definitely states that we should not do that, yet people are so quick to judge and they do not evaluate properly, so their judgment is not correct. And they judge a person on the strength of what they've heard or theory or what somebody said or what they thought. A lot of times they judge them as they did Jesus on the basis of the tradition of the elders. To go back and find out that it really was a tradition and not the Word of God. Jesus reproved them one time by saying, "You hold fast to your traditions, and then you take the traditions and you make the Word of God of none effect." They said something to Jesus on one occasion, and they said, "Why is it that you transgress the tradition of the elders?" Whereas the Bible emphatically states that we're not to move the landmarks of the old fathers, and that they're our spiritual guides. But yet, Jesus said, "How is it that you transgress the word of God by your traditions. So then you see, as long as people don't transgress the word of God by their traditions, then we have no reason to transgress their traditions. And it is for sure that if it's the old landmarks of the fathers that establishes the way of the word of God, we certainly don't want to transgress that. So then we make it a practice to hold steadfast to the wonderful word of God and the wonderful way of God, and to speak the way of God and the word of God without fear of favor, without turning in any direction toward any religious sect, and without trying to condemn anybody, just doing what we're supposed to do. A lot of people hold to the idea that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through his son all people might be saved. Whereas this is true, grace came that we might have salvation, and God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, because we are the world, that is the people, were condemned already because of being born into sin. But he sent his son into the world to save the world, that we might believe on the Son of God. Believing, therefore, we might have salvation. But then on the other hand, there is one thing that they do overlook. Though God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, yet he sent his son into the world to condemn sin in the flesh. And that's what we preach. We condemn sin in the flesh. And we preach the wonderful word of God, not condemning anybody, but just condemning sin in the flesh. Therefore, to condemn sin in the flesh, sometimes it may encroach upon your rights and my rights and your feelings and my feelings and our... It could touch our church, your church or my church or our church. It could touch our upbringings. It might even touch the teachings of our dad, mother, our parents, or our grandparents. But nevertheless, if it is God's word, it should touch it. It should tear it down. It should be changed about. It should be corrected. For if what my grandparents taught me, or what my church taught me, or what the body of believers that I trusted in taught me, if that is contrary to God's word, then it should be torn down. Somebody said something a few days ago concerning the paper and concerning the reporters. There's been quite a number of reporters, and I guess there's possibly, since Thomasville, the papers alone must have gone to at least 100,000 people, just the papers in which it was recorded. But something was said concerning the papers as to what will they say. Well, we're used to that all over the country. They do that all over the country, our ministry. But I answer them like this, that if I am preaching a false doctrine, if I am contrary to God, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, then let the papers bless me. That would be the truthful thing to do. That would be the right thing to do. That would be the thing that would protect the people. Let them bless me. The sooner the better. The sooner they stop my mouth, the better, if I'm in perversion and perverting the cause of Christ. The better for all of us. But if I speak the truth, and if I tell the things that pertain to godliness and the things that pertain to right, then let them speak the truth. Let them tell the truth, and let them publish it to the people. I thank the Lord tonight for them that have come with regularity and them that are here. The Bible said that the righteous is as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when nobody's after them. When nobody's pursuing, the wicked is running because they have a guilty complex or a guilty conscience. But the righteous is as bold as the lion because they've done nothing to be pursued, so they're not afraid of pursuit. They know that God will stand by them. One writer said that my heart is fixed and evil tidings shall not trouble me. Now, I'd like to read some from the book of Hebrews. If you'd like to stand with me while we read, I'd certainly appreciate it. Seeing that this is the word of God, this is the most beautiful, lovable thing in all the world. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And this is the most beautiful thing. You know, at home, if I find anything laying on the top of my Bible, I get excited. I don't want anybody to put anything on top of my Bible. I don't want anybody to lay my Bible away, you know, and just lay anything on it, because it's God's beloved words of life. And I watch over the word of God. And you know, I watch over my thoughts the same way. I plead with God to let my thoughts be holy. And I'm jealous over my thoughts with a godly jealousy. I don't want my thoughts to think about anything but Jesus. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, that we should bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. David said, even to the intent of the heart, or that was his way of looking at it. Now, therefore, I am jealous over my thoughts to the extent that I want my thoughts always to be upon God, that as I might do, according to the Scripture, meditate in His laws day and night. The Bible tells us that the man that meditates in the laws day and night, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that he received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because that they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with me. There is a lot of things here to be said. I have said from night to night as we continue on in these meetings and saying the things that we will be saying from the Scripture, that there will be things perhaps that you have never heard and things perhaps that might stir you a little bit and to make you ponder and make you search the Bible and things that might thrill your heart as you listen. But whatever we will be talking from night to night as to concerning these things and whatever God gives us, and depending on the hunger and the thirst of them that come and them that listen as to what the Lord will say to them. The Bible teaches that when the minister is speaking, if truly he is a God-man, then the Bible teaches it is not him speaking, but it is God from heaven that has come to conference with his people. So then tonight, as we try to get into the Spirit of the Lord, in the sense the Bible said that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, then as we try to get into the Spirit of the Lord, talking to you about these wonderful things, then we want your undivided attention concerning your spirit. Now you can look right at me, you can listen at me, and that's good because Peter said, look on us. But at the same time, if you do not yield your spirit, if you do not receive anything in your spirit, if you're not free in your spirit, if you do not worship the Lord in spirit, then you will receive nothing or hear anything that the Spirit has to say to the church. I as a man give forth vocal utterance, and I as a man hear with my ears. We see with our eyes, we hear with our ears, we speak with our mouth. But at the same time, Jesus spoke of a people that could see and yet was blind, could hear and yet was deaf. They could speak, but yet they were dumb when it come to the things of the Spirit. Having eyes, he said, ye see not the things that the Father do. Having ears, ye hear not what the Spirit saith unto the church. But then on the other hand, he said to another people, he that hath an ear, that is a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So tonight, as I speak to you, let us hear. I said this last night, and I sometimes refer to this to kind of help people get their bearings. So many people misconstrue the Scriptures. They take the outlook concerning the man of God that if he doesn't act a certain way or if they don't feel a certain way, then the man of God did not get anointed that particular night. And they feel like that God did not deal with them. But I say this to you again, if he is God's anointed, not a reflector, but if he is God's anointed, then he does not have to get anointed. God's man does not have to get anointed. He is God's anointed. He is God's anointed when he wakes up in the morning. He is God's anointed when he lays down at night. He is God's anointed when he walks down to the local service station to have conference with the people. He is God's anointed. Wherever you meet him, he is God's anointed. He does not have to get anointed. All he has to do is stir up what the Bible refers to as the pure mind. The Bible said, stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Christ within you. To do that, all he has to do is talk just a little bit, or conference with you a little bit, or somebody get hungry a little bit for the things of God, or somebody needs something from God. If they come to the man of God and they begin to draw just a little bit, it's like a babe nursing the breast of a mother, the milk will automatically come down. Because that is the mother, she carries the milk. He is the anointed of God, he carries the anointing and he carries the Spirit and Word of God in the mind of Christ. And he is there to give the babes the sincere milk of the Word. He is also there to give to the strong, they who are by reasoning exercise their minds to be able to discern between good and evil, to give to the strong the meat, that there might be meat in the house of God. In that the Bible said that the meat belongs to the strong. Tonight, the first thing we notice here, chapter 11, it's a faith text that Paul has taken preaching to the Hebrew people. And he says to begin with, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that is faith, Paul said. Faith is so sure. Faith is so powerful. Faith will not fail if it's true faith. It is so sure to bring the answer that once faith arises in your heart, it is the evidence of whatever you desire. That is, whatever you are desiring, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Whatever you want from God, if you can ever bring faith to the surface. Paul said if you can ever get faith to register one time, then whatever you have desired is yours. It cannot fail. It doesn't matter what you think after that. It doesn't matter how much you stumble after that. If faith registered one time concerning the thing that you want, you have what you have asked God for. Because faith is so powerful that it is the evidence of that thing that you are desiring. Just to have faith is positive evidence that it belongs to you. If you was going to court for any reason and you had the evidence, and if it was positive evidence, you would not have to worry about the judge's decision, because if the evidence is positive, the judge will render his decision on the grounds and the strength of the positive evidence. Therefore, faith is the evidence. It is the evidence to you of that thing which you cannot see, that thing which you desire. If it be eternal life, if it be that that pertains to the invisible world, if it be that that pertains to the invisible God, if your faith registers toward eternal life or confidence in God, your faith, your confidence in God is the positive evidence that what you want and what you desire, whether it be eternal life, whether it be a gift from God, whether it be deliverance, whatever it might be, it is a positive evidence that you have what you ask God for. He says here, it is the substance of things that you are hoping for. It is so powerful, Paul said, that once faith arises in your heart, that it is the very substance itself. Once faith arises in your heart, it is the very substance that you are desiring. Now, supposing that you wanted a new automobile and you prayed to God till faith arose in your heart. Once faith arises in your heart, then you have your automobile. You don't have to worry when it's coming, what kind it's going to be or whatever. If you just want a certain thing, that's the way it will be. Paul said it is so positive that once faith arises in your heart, that is the substance that you are desiring. For it is the substance of things that you are hoping for. Faith is the very substance itself. It is that sure. It is that powerful. Just to have faith, you can have what you want. I remember on one occasion, numbers of years ago, I needed an automobile. I was in a certain place. I had no money. My wife and I was there trying to work for God. I had no money. I did not have anything, but I needed an automobile. I went into the back of our little trailer. I got down on my knees and I began to talk to God. I stayed there for a while. I did not move until faith arose in my heart. I said, now God, I must have an automobile. I've got to have it. You know, the Word said you'll supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory, and I cannot do without the automobile. I must have it. Therefore, God, I'm asking you for an automobile. I need a good automobile, not just anything, but I need a good automobile. So I prayed until faith arose in my heart. When I knew that faith had arisen in my heart, I went to my wife and I said, Betty, the Lord just gave us an automobile. I said that. She said, well, that's wonderful, because Betty believes in faith. If I tell her, she believes it. And she said, that's wonderful. I said, now I don't know how it's going to come, who's going to bring it, or where it's going to come from. But I said, I've already touched God and faith arose in my heart. I said, and we have our automobile. So we just sat there quietly for a day or two, and all of a sudden a wealthy man came to knock on the door of our little trailer. And he came in and he asked me certain questions about certain things. He wasn't even of the faith.
that we was preaching so far as our religious conviction. But he was a man that loved God according to his understanding. And he came in and he said, don't you need an automobile? I said, I certainly do. And I said, and the Lord gave me one. He said, he did? I said, yes, sir. I said, I was praying the other day and he gave me one. The man, he just kind of looked at me with a holler expression, you know. But after a bit, he got down to business and he said, well, said, I'll just have to be honest with you. Said, I came to buy you an automobile. Said, will you come with me? I said, yes, sir. And we went together and rode down to another town that was quite a ways away, and he let me pick out the automobile I wanted. And I picked out a nice automobile, and he just paid cash for it, and that settled it. And I drove the car back to let my wife see it. I had told the local pastor, we was running a revival for him. They had a great big two-story church that he had, and I told this pastor that God had given me an automobile. Whereas the pastor was a man of God, he believed, but he just couldn't quite get a hold of that. And he kind of looked at me with a holler expression when I told him. But within the next day or two, when we rolled up in the automobile, he was there. And I said, sir, I said, I have my automobile. Now, see, this is what I mean. Faith is the substance of the things that you're hoping for. It is the evidence of the things that you cannot see. I could not see the automobile, and the automobile was the substance itself that I wanted. But when faith arose in my heart, it was positive evidence that that car belonged to me wherever it was, and it was the positive proof or substance of that thing that I wanted in that it was so sure. So then Paul tells us here what a great thing this is. He said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. God being the invisible God, you cannot see God. You cannot touch God by tangible means. You cannot see God by your eyes. You know, a lot of times we think of God as that which we can see. But you cannot see God except in one another. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, one of these days I'm going to see God. But remember this, beloved friend, you will never see God the Father. That is not possible except through His lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, Brother Pike, how can this be? Because the Bible says that no man has seen God at any time. I've heard people say, well, Moses saw him, but the Bible doesn't say that. No man has seen God at any time. The Bible said God is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. That no man has ever seen Him, no man can see Him. And the Bible said Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality. No man can go to the Father except by the Son of God and through the lovely name of Jesus Christ. This great wonderful light, God the Eternal One, God the Ancient of Days, the book of Revelation tells us that when God, the great Father of spirits, this great wonderful Heavenly Father, when He comes forth, He is so bright, He is so great, the light is so outstanding, that the Bible said all of the earth will flee away from His presence. He is so great, He is so mighty, He cannot even come forth without all of the world vanishing away into nothing. The Bible said the earth will flee away, the mountains will flee away. It says the ocean will flee away and nothing will be left before Him. He is so great, so wonderful, so righteous, so holy, so pure, the great light that no man can approach unto. Ain't you glad tonight that you can go to God through the Holy Spirit? Ain't you glad that you can get to God through Jesus Christ tonight? Ain't you glad that Jesus spilt His blood at Calvary so that you can have that wonderful blessing of God? You know, when Moses stood on the mountain, Moses being typical of that thing, Moses came down from the mountain and his face was all aglow. When he came down from the mountain, they said to Moses, they said, oh, Moses, we can't look upon you. Moses had to put a veil over his face. And they said, Moses, don't let us speak to God. Said, we're afraid we'll die if we speak to God. But said, Moses, you speak to God and you tell us what God has to say. You know, tonight I'm so glad that Jesus can communicate with God and I can communicate with Jesus, ain't you? I'm so glad tonight that I can communicate with the Son of God and let Him communicate with God. See, He's the mediator between man and God tonight. He is God in one part, He is man in the other part, and it connects all of it together to where we can be one with our Heavenly Father. So then him that I cannot see him tonight, I can worship him through the wonderful shed blood of his darling son Jesus, and I can call upon God and receive the wonderful promises of my Savior tonight, because he promised in his word and he cannot lie. The promises here that God made to the elders, and how that God gave the prophets promises, how that Daniel and other great men that we'll be speaking of during this meeting, how that these great men had to rest in their lot, how that they had to die, how they had to sleep beneath the clay, waiting for the wonderful promise. These men died in the faith, not having received the promises, the Bible said. Though the promises was for them, they died in the faith, not having received the promise. Because the Bible said that they could not be made perfect until we came along. They could not be made perfect without us. Back under the old law, they could not be made perfect. You know, there's something so beautiful here tonight in the wonderful words of life that can be revealed to thrill your heart, to cause you to bypass death altogether. It is so wonderful tonight that there is no proper words of expression for it. This wonderful word of life, this wonderful word of spirit, this wonderful word of power. I magnify the word. I believe the word. Somebody says, Brother Pike, what do you believe? I believe the word. And somebody says, what do you preach, Brother Pike? I preach the word. The Bible said, preach the word. I believe nothing but the word. I don't believe anything that's outside of the word, whether it's doctrines, idea, heresy, or whatever. I don't believe anything but the word of God. Whatever the word of God says, I believe it. Whatever the word of God says, to me that settles it. It has to be God's word. If God's word is spirit and God's word is life, then how can I have eternal life if I don't have the word of God? The Bible said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld that word as the only begotten of God that was full of grace and full of truth. That wonderful word of God took on a human body, and the Bible said God sent his word and God healed him by his word. It was faith in God's word. The Bible said never man spake like this man, for his words are with power. So then God's wonderful word said, let there be, and the stars begin to shine. God's word said, let there be, and the trees begin to come up. God's word said, let there be, and a human being begin to walk around. God said, let there be, and there was a great ocean. And God said, let there be, and there was great whales that began to swim around in it. And God sent his word and healed him. And God upholds all things by his word. And God, the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever to 1,000 generations. That same word tonight is the same to you and I as it was to the prophets of old. That same wonderful word is here tonight to heal you. That word is here to save you tonight. That word is here to deliver you, because the Bible said by his word he cast out the unclean spirits. When you got something wrong with you, God will cast the devil out of you. I remember us having a service one night. And I remember some men, and these were devout men of long fasting. I saw them pray for a woman one night. They brought the woman up, and the woman had a devil a hold of her. And the woman just kept on crying out and screaming out. And I saw these men pray for her, but nothing didn't happen. I saw one pray for her and another pray for her, but nothing didn't happen. I said, I want you to let this woman stand right here for just a minute. And as she stood there, I began to speak the word of God just like that. I just kept speaking the word of God. And in a minute, she screamed out and said, oh my God, I'm delivered. I'm free. Oh my God. And she began to scream out and praise God, because the word of God had set her free. You know, that's why I don't like for anybody to lay anything on my Bible. I know that's just a printed page. And I know that page has got to get into my heart, as we say. That word's got to get into my intellectual concept. And then it's got to get into my heart. See, if I intellectually take hold of that word, then I can be a reflector. I may intellectually grasp that word and even learn to quote that word. But beloved friend, it doesn't become faith until it goes down into the depths of my heart. When I get that word down in my heart, then that word becomes faith, because the Bible said, with the heart man believeth. It's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And when that word gets down in your heart, then you believe God, because something happens to you on the inside. So then, don't you feel good tonight? I feel the word, don't you? The word is spirit. The word is life. The word is quickening. I feel it here tonight. So then I can tell there's some believers in the word. You know, the Bible said in the last days, and some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are doctrines of devils in the world today. And the Bible said in the latter times that there would be some that would depart from the faith. You know, this is something we really need to stop and think about. Think about, children of God. It's not because you believe that you are a Christian. It is not because you believe that you have faith. You can believe and not have faith. You can believe and not be a Christian. See, the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well, because the devil believes the same thing the devils believe in, and they tremble when they think about it. But see, mere believing is not faith. Just mere believing is not faith. You might believe in this church and you might believe in that church. You might believe in one doctrine or another doctrine. You might believe that something that you've read, something that you've heard, but that doesn't mean that you are a Christian. That doesn't mean that you have faith. Somebody would say, well, it depends on what you believe. No, that's not right. There is but one faith, the Bible said. Just one faith, not numbers of faith, but just one faith. You say, Brother Pike, what is that one faith? The Bible said that faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. So then what is faith? Faith is not what I think. Faith is not what I say. Faith is not what you think or believe. Faith is what the word of God has to say about it. If the word of God says something, you believe it, that is faith. If you disbelieve it, that is unbelief. If anything says anything and you believe it, it doesn't mean it's faith. It just means that you believe it. But when you hear the word of God and you believe the word of God, that is faith, beloved friend. And that is the only faith there is. And the Bible says that in the last days some will depart from the word of God. Some will give heed to seducing ideas and doctrines of devils and what the elders teach and what they believe and what they've got out of commentaries and whatever. I know there's a lot of good commentaries. Get a lot of good things from a lot of great men. But on the other hand, when they leave the word of God, it's time to leave off with them. Did you know that? If Brother Pike leaves the word of God, it's time to leave off with Brother Pike. Did you know that? If Brother Roberts leaves the word of God, it's time to leave off with Brother Roberts. If Brother Swaggart leaves the word of God, it's time to leave off with Brother Swaggart. And if the Brother Church of God and Brother Methodist and Brother Baptist and Brother Pentecostal and Brother Catholic, whatever it might be, if they leave the word of God, it's time to leave off with them, beloved friend. Let us follow the word of God. If our pastor preaches the word of God, stay with the pastor. Stay with the preacher. Do what he tells you to do. And if he doesn't stay with the word of God, then you get away from him. If you can't get him on the word of God, then you get away from him. The Bible said if you perceive there's no understanding in a man, to go from him. And brother, a man that won't preach the word of God, there's no understanding in that fellow. You sure don't want to take any time with that fellow, because that man is a tool and an instrument of Lucifer. Isn't that right? Jesus said on one occasion, he spoke to some of them over there about the word of God, and he saw they did not know the word of God and they did not believe the word of God. And what did he do? He said, thou art of thy father the devil. If a man will not follow the word of God, what is he then? He is of the devil. How else could he be anything else? A man that will not preach the word of God, a man that will not believe the word of God, a man that will not stand for the word of God, and that goes for a woman too, that person has to be of the devil, or either they are a little child that don't know and don't understand and has never come to a truth. So then we got to preach the word of God. The Bible said, woe unto me, Paul speaking, if I preach not the word of God, if I preach not the gospel. And I believe in the word of God. Like a fellow told me in Denver, Colorado one time, had his tent set up out there. He said, Brother Pike, if I preach what you say, said, well, my congregation is split right down the middle. Said, I'd lose some of them. I said, well, isn't that what it's all about, to divide the sheep from the goat? I said, what are you trying to do? That's why God sent us to preach the word, to separate the sheep from the goat. We're not supposed to try to take everybody to heaven. Everybody isn't going to heaven, beloved friend. Only those that believe in God's word, those are the ones that's going to heaven. We are here to preach. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Though he tells me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, yet every creature isn't going to be saved. He tells me to pray for the sick. I can pray for every creature, but every creature isn't going to be healed. God tells me that the gospel is sent to all the world, but all the world isn't going to hear the gospel. How then can I preach the gospel, and why must I preach the gospel? First of all, I must preach the gospel to every creature. You say, but Brother Pike, if every creature isn't going to be saved, why then will you preach the gospel to every creature? I preach the gospel to every creature that God may be just in the day of judgment when all of them stand before Him. And God will say to them, I sent my word and I told you about my word and I told you not to do these things and I told you the things to do and you did not honor me. Therefore, I am not cruel to you as I say, depart from me that work iniquity and you go away into everlasting punishment. That is to justify God. What is the law of the land for? What are the policemen for? They're for our protection. They're for our benefit if we honor the law. Isn't that right? So then what is the law for? It is to protect the judge when you go before the judge. Well, when you go before the judge, what does the judge do? He resorts to the word. He resorts to the law. Isn't that right? He says, the law said, and I sent the law to you. And I posted a little sign along the road saying, drive such and such. And there was a law over here that said, do such and such. And you were familiar with the law. And ignorance is no excuse. Because the law was all around you. Isn't that right? The Bible said God once winked at ignorance, but now it's commanded all men to repent. One time God really did repent over creating man because he felt bad over the situation. And then he decided to send a perpetuation for sin. And God said, after this, after I give you grace, there'll be no excuse if you don't do right. So then tonight we are without excuse. What can I do? Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I come up here tonight and I pervert the gospel to you, if I pervert the word of God to you, if I don't preach the faith of Jesus Christ, then I'm in trouble with God. Isn't that right? If you come here and I do preach the gospel and you hear me tell the word of God and I tell you what it says and I tell you what you must do, and then if you don't obey the word of God, then you are in trouble and I'm not in trouble. Paul preached the gospel one time, and when he finished, he saw some of them were not going to believe it. He just shook his raiment like that and he went his way and he said, your blood be upon your own head. The Bible said, I set watchmen upon your wall that will not hold their peace day and night. They're crying out, the Bible said, and they're not holding their peace, and they're watching for you. They're watching for the sheep. The Bible said, these watchmen watch for your soul, and these shepherds are watching over you as those that must answer to God as being those that are over the sheep of God's pasture until the chief shepherd appeared. And he said, if you are a watchman, and if you cry, if you do not cry when you see this thing coming near the sheep, when you see that some of them are going to be injured, if somebody dies, if the blood is spilt, I will require the blood at the hand of the watchman. Said, but if you warn the people and then the people do not flee the wrath of God to come, then you have delivered the blood from your hands. So then tonight I am a preacher. What can I do? I must go into all the world and preach the gospel as much as life within me to every creature. And once I've done that, then that's all that I can do. And then when I stand before the Heavenly Father, I say, Father, I did all I can do. And He'll say, the blood is not required at your hand. And then I see the thousands of people that we preach to, or the thousands of people that have heard our voice. And then they stand out there, the great multitude of people. And we preached and reached thousands upon thousands of people. And then they stand out there, and I stand there and look at them, and I think, Lord, my blood, their blood's not on my hands. I've delivered their blood from my hands. And He looks at them. Then every one of them that would not listen to me, every one of them that would not conform to what I told them, every one of them that would not line up with God's word and honor God, they will be turned away into the lake of fire. But blood will not be on my hands for either one because I told them the truth. So then we see what a wonderful thing this word of God is. Now, I get excited over it. I cannot help but get excited over it because I know what this word is. This is a living word. This is a word that can heal. This is a word that can save. This is a word that can make you alive. When you're cast down and when you feel bad, this word can bring you joy. When you're sad and you can't find any peace and devils and demons are just harassing your mind, this word of God can bring you peace. The Bible said all of the paths of God are peace. You can walk in the paths of the Word of God and do the thing that God tells you to do, and you can have a great, wonderful life of peace, of righteousness. And the Bible said, besides that, we should serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Isn't that right? Having our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof, everlasting life. I said last night that God is the Spirit of holiness. Now, it doesn't matter if you are in a Baptist church. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you love God, you still got God. Is that right? If you are in a Methodist church and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you've got the Holy Spirit, you've still got God. If you're in a Pentecostal church and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you got God, you still got God. But beloved friend, if you're in any of those churches and you do not have God's Spirit and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you do not have God. The Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. So then being in a church isn't going to do you any good. Joining a church isn't going to do you any good. Exchanging churches isn't going to do you any good. When they started the Baptist church, it was a good thing. When they started the Pentecostal church, it was a good thing. When they started the Methodist church, it was a good thing. Did you know that? Did you know men like John Wesley and great, wonderful leaders of old, they were great men, and they started great movements and powerful movements? But did you know that today, in almost every movement that there is, it's corrupted today? If men like John Wesley, if the great men of old, like William Booth and others, could stand today and look down through the telescope of time and see the people and the way that they have corrupted the thing that they started and the additives that they brought into the church, what a horrible time it would be. I said the other night that Moses, even when Jesus came, Moses' followers stood there. And as they looked at the Lord Jesus, they condemned the Lord Jesus, the very one that had gave Moses the word. That same wonderful Christ of God that had gave Moses the word. Here they stood and they condemned this Christ. They condemned this Jesus. And he was the very word itself. He was the very Lord itself. He was the very one that had come himself. This was the very thing itself, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. But they didn't recognize him. Folks, this is the trouble in the church today. They don't recognize the Word. They don't recognize God. They don't recognize Christ. What is it? They have added and they've taken away and they have put in things and inserted things and took so many things out that today they don't even know what the Word says. They've got doctrines and ideas and theology, and if any preacher comes and crosses that doctrine, they'll fly out just like that. You know, you've got the wheat in the church. I mentioned this the other night. And the Bible speaks of trampling the wheat. They gather the wheat in and then they trample the wheat. That's the way they did it in the Holy Land. They would get over the wheat and they would trample the wheat. And as they trampled the wheat, then the chaff would fly up and the winnowing wind would blow it away. And did you know that when you start trampling the wheat, when you gather it all in, when you begin to preach the Word of God, and when you begin to trample the wheat, all of a sudden the chaff begins to fly up. And God's got a contrary idea, a contrary thought. God's got a contrary wind, a contrary doctrine. And out it goes. Because God is holding on to the wheat. God is gathering the wheat into the garners, and God is going to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. So that is a wonderful thing tonight to know that God does have some real, genuine grain. God's got some people that's willing to forsake their ideas and their theology and put a little neology in its place. I'm not against theology, but I'll tell you right now, when it begins to replace neology, something needs to be done. I think theology's got its place, and I think neology's got its place, don't you? I think we need to get down on our knees and pray a little bit, brother. Pray a little bit, sister, and get this thing together the way that God tells us to do it. All right, so then the trouble in the church today is that they don't know the Word of God. You can't condemn the people because they don't know the Word of God. Many of them don't know the Word of God. Now, here's something that's probably going to be shocking, and you probably disagree with me. I'll probably get a repercussion out of it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Now, here's the thing. The Bible said at the midnight hour, they were all were asleep. Come on now, folks. I know some ain't going to like this, and I might see some chaff pass out the door as the winnowing winds blow. But I want you to think on this. Now, the Bible said at the midnight cry, they all was asleep. Somebody say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I mean at the midnight cry, the Methodist folks was asleep. Somebody say, amen, oh me, or shut up. At the midnight cry, the Baptist folks was asleep. Somebody says, amen, I'm Methodist. If you say Baptist, I can say amen, and vice versa. But this is going to be getting a little closer to home. The Pentecostal people at the midnight cry was asleep. Somebody say amen. The Bible said at the midnight cry, all of them was asleep. There was no one awake except the watchman's on the wall. The Bible said the watchman, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Did you know that God's got a few people in the world today that's the watchman's on the wall? Glory to God. They're walking with Christ and they're talking with the Lord and they're watching for the church. And like old Daniel of old down in Babylon, they're saying, God, show me what's going to befall the people. He's got a few watchmen on the wall tonight. Did you know that? God's got somebody on the wall tonight that's watching for your soul. But the Bible said all of them was asleep. Said the foolish virgins was asleep and the wise virgins was asleep and all of them was asleep. Praise God. The water's going to get deeper. It got up to the ankle and it got so high, you know, some of them might have got drowned. Are you listening now? You know what the problem is? Oh, listen, if I say this, I'm going to owe you an explanation. That's why I shy away from some of these things till I have more time to say it. But you know what the problem is? Folks, don't leave. Don't freeze up. Don't come against God when I say this. But the trouble with the world today is sports. Somebody say amen. The trouble with the world today is sports. They've got it in the church today. They're trying to mix the world all with the church. And they've got it in the church today. And this is what's causing the problem in the church today. That's why they are asleep. They've gone to sleep. They've let Satan put them to sleep. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I say this with all reverence and all respect because I used to love sports as good as anybody. My dad was a ball player and my uncle one of the best coaches of one of the finest teams in the nation. But when I found out it didn't do nothing but cause fights and cause trouble, and I could look down there and see them with the bats or fighting or whatever they were doing, I began to learn that that wasn't the right way. When I heard my own comrades get together and say, when we get over there and have our ball game, we're going to have us a good fight. So that's what makes it exciting. Brother, that made me to know even back then that it was of the devil and it's not of God. Why do we put it in the church today when it's not of God? Why do we do those things knowing that God is displeased with that? Oh, beloved friend, I told last night of some of the things that God showed me in a vision concerning it. Did you know today? Now listen real careful. I might not be able to get into this and explain it tonight. But if you come back, I promise you, if the Lord will allow me to, I'll explain it to you and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt what I'm saying. Did you know that sports is the number one tool of the devil today? Did you know that when John saw that beast come up out of the waters, he said he had a lion head and he had a leopard body and he had bare feet? Do you realize that that leopard body that he saw was sports? Do you understand that that leopard body was sports? And do you know the thing that's going to constitute that beast's body is sports? And did you know there's nothing else in the world? I challenge you or anybody else in the world anywhere to prove to me that there's any other thing that the people will be unanimous in. There is not one thing on the face of the earth, from religion to whatever, government or whatever you want to get. There is not one thing that can bring the world together but sports. Russia, when they wouldn't, didn't even want to talk to America, didn't even want to have any fellowship. Said, now when it comes to the Olympics, we'll let down the Iron Curtain and we'll all play ball and we'll fight later. Somebody say, I love the Lord. Hallelujah. That means that beast's body is sports. That's what it is. And that old Babylonian head of that lion that was down there in Babylon, that same thing of Mystery Babylon, I'd like to prove it tonight. I'd love to go back and pick up history and show you beyond a shadow of a doubt is what it is. The old bare feet of communism carrying it. That old bare feet of government. You know, the world's got to have three things to survive. You know that? They've got to have three things. They can't get by without it. They've got to have a religion. Did you know that? Alexander the Great, when he went down there and conquered, down into Babylon, he had to have the Hellenistic religion. It took that religion to give him the courage. Men conquer by religion. See, they've got to have a religious conviction to soothe their conscience, to make them feel right. Or they feel all out of sorts. They can't thrive. They can't go on. They can't build their empires. They've got to be at rest in their spirit. So then they take on that teaching. They take on some kind of religious conviction. And today it's got to be a Babylonian thing. Are you listening? I said it's got to be a Babylonian thing because we've got every kind of doctrine there is in the world today. You know, we mock India a lot of times because they say they have about 300 million gods or 30 million gods over there. Now, but when you talk about America, how many gods have America got? America's got everything from sports to Cadillacs that they worship. Somebody say hallelujah. That's the truth, folks. And yet we call them folks heathens when they don't even know, and yet we're supposed to be the ones that know. So then, that Babylonian head, that confusing head of all the doctrines of the world, all the religions of the world coming up into one universal religion, what kind of religion will that be? That will be the religion that will make allowance for everything that everybody wants to do. Are you listening? I said that religion will let Brother Pike do what he wants to do, and let Sister do what she wants to do, and Brother do what he wants to do, and everybody else do what they want to do, and not encroach upon any of your sovereignty or rights. And it'll just say, go to it. Just be sure you come by and drop it in the offering at the right time. Just be sure that you look in my direction at the right time. And folks, you can do anything that you want to do. God bless you, some preacher says. God loved you, like a preacher told me one time. Said, God's revealed something to me. I said, what is it? I was out in Texas. He said, God showed me they're going to save the people in spite of themselves. You love the Lord? But this beast body, remember, the people must of necessity have three things. The world cannot operate unless it has three things. One of those things is religion. It must have religion. Another thing that it must have is a government. It must have a government. That religious Babylonian head, that old lion head, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Then the great government of communism, which was the bare feet. And then the third thing it must have is recreation. It must have religion, it must have government, it must have recreation. You try to figure it out, you just sit down sometimes and trying to figure it out, and you'll see that these three things, they must have in the world to continue. They cannot go without a government because everybody would get confused and nobody would know what to do. They cannot continue without a religion because they must soothe their conscience to have the stability and the perseverance to continue. They cannot go on without recreation because they've got to have an outlet somewhere to find relief from the pressures of life. So then, what is this great body that was spotted? It was the leopard body. You know where it goes back to? Just as the Babylonian head goes back to Babylon down there in the time of Daniel and is transferred over to Rome for that great mystery of iniquity. The same way the bare feet go back to communism, which is the king that comes out of the north that's raging, the Antichrist. And then the body of that beast, that leopard, goes back to that swift moving man that went down there and conquered by the Hellenistic religion. Alexander the Great. It goes back to Greece. Betty and I were over in Greece just a few days ago. We encountered quite a few things while we're in that country. But it goes back to Greece, it goes back to sports, it goes back to the Olympics. See, all of the body of the world is coming together in one thing, and that is sports. You cannot get them together. You cannot get everybody to be Church of God. You cannot get everybody to be Methodist. You cannot get everybody to be Baptist. You cannot get everybody to be any kind of religion. But you can get everybody into sports. Somebody said, not them religious people. I know that you don't know what you're talking about. One of the greatest moves of sports today is religious people. They have taken ball games into the church and they have driven the Spirit of God out. And listen, folks, don't run away. But the Bible said that same beloved church that one time was a great thing in the earth has become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. They have driven out the saints of God and them that wanted to stand for holiness and them that wanted to stand against that was unrighteous. They have pressured them and driven them out to make way for these other things until the saints of God are just roaming the earth today looking for a place to stay. Isn't that right? You know why? Because they wouldn't go along with their gimmicks. They wouldn't go along with their worldliness. They wouldn't go along with their evil. And the saints of God cried out against it and they were driven out. And now God's let it become a cage to hold them all together under that great, wonderful hour of judgment when the Ancient of Days comes. The world today is caught away in sports. Now listen at me real close as I say this tonight. And what is the beast? Now what is the beast? What is the beast? The Bible said in that garden, the nearest thing to the beast or to a man was the beast. The nearest thing to a man was the beast. Is that right? This is God's garden today, folks. And in this garden today, just as Adam was the son of God in that garden, in this garden today, there is a son of God. Do you believe that? The Bible said, "Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like, but the Bible said, when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So in this garden today, there is a man. There is something that is the nearest thing to a man. And what is that man? That man is God's Adam, the son of God. The second man, Adam, God's son. He's in the world today. And who is the other fellow that's so near like him? It is that beast that walks and talks and looks just like him. It is that beast that is a reflector and just as religious as Cain was. He reflects the things of God. He's religious. He makes his sacrifice. He can do anything that you can do because he is a reflector. The writer spoke of it as wandering stars up there that don't have any light of their own. All they do is reflect the light of the sun and the light of the other stars. But there are some stars up there, like the day star, which is referred to as the sun. This has a great, wonderful burning light on the inside. The others are merely in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Just as Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah and Adam went out from under the presence of the Shekinah, so today there are those that are the beast that's in the presence of the garden today and in the Shekinah today. And when they get out of the presence of God, they do the thing they want to do. They come to church, they reflect the light. They get around you, they're just as religious. But when they get by themselves, that darkness of the intellectual reasoning of that old tree of knowledge, that old serpent mind begins to take hold on them. That old lust of the flesh begins to take hold on them. And they go right back to the very same things that they left to get in that light. But you know what? We're not like Adam. We're not in the presence of the Shekinah. But beloved friend, ever since Calvary, we have the second man, Adam. We are born to the Shekinah. We can't get out from under the Shekinah. The devil, the beast part, the old natural part can't entice us away from the Shekinah because we are born to the light of God. And the day star is on the inside of us. And we are great, wonderful lights because we're the light of the earth. I'll listen for a few more minutes and we're going to close. A lot of things to say. We're going to try to close in just a few minutes. Think on this for just a minute. Why does a man step up to the bat? And he says, "In the name of Jesus, I'll knock a home run," and he knocks a home run. Are you listening? Somebody goes down to the basketball, the football field. And they say, "Bless God, we're going to win this game in the name of Jesus," and they do. The boxer, he stands off like this, and he says, "God done showed me I'm going to win this bout in the name of Jesus." Are you listening? A friend of mine, Curly, a real good friend, far of Jack Dempsey and some of the rest of them. You know, I talked to him a little bit. And he really believes in those things. In person. But here they are. You say, "Brother Pike, can they really do that?" Like this great man down here in Athens, Georgia. This great champ among the football players or whatever just reached a great place when he was about to quit. He said when he was about to give up, about to quit, felt like he was a failure, couldn't go no further. Looked like everything had gone wrong. He looked up and saw the picture of Jesus. And something seized him and something got a hold of him and something come over him. And all of a sudden he felt like he could do it. And he said, "I won't quit. I can do it. I can do it." He got to thinking about Jesus. Somebody would say, "Brother Pike, do you really believe that those people are able to do that by that supernatural strength or that wonderful blessing? They are able to do it." You say, "How can they do that, Brother Pike?" Because they are reflectors. They reflect that courage of Jesus. They reflect that wonderful strength of the great supermen of old, the apostles. They learn about the great prophets and they reflect that. Their intellectual capacity can pick it up. It's not in their hardest faith, but in their intelligence. They pick it up and they reflect that great light and they receive a drive and they receive something that causes them to move out. You say, "But how can they do that?" Because we're living in the days of grace and the blood is on the seat of atonement. But it's not long before the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. Maybe we'll speak on that one night and show you the difference in it. But see, as the blood being on the seat of atonement, you can be as religious as you want to. There is medical aid in the world to help you. There is grace of God in the world to aid you. There is the grace, there is the rain upon the just and the unjust. There is the water upon the briar and upon the wheat. And they all rejoice when the water comes. So then they reflect it and they go and do these great things. But beloved friend, let me tell you, those things are an abomination in the sight of God. The Bible speaks of lying signs and wonders. By reflecting it, men can do great, mighty wonders. I spoke of the three unclean spirits, like frogs that would come out of the mouth of the false prophet, the dragon, and the image. I spoke of that last night. Maybe we'll speak on it some more when we have a little more time. But see, they can reflect that because it is the day of reflection. It is the day of grace. But the blood will come off the seat of atonement. Now, one of these nights, God being my helper, I'm going to explain to you, if you don't already know, how that the blood will come off and the way it will come off. And if you don't know, it's a shocking thing. It's such a shocking thing to realize the way that God will do it. But anyway, these reflect. These are reflectors. That's why they can pray for their ball games today. That's why they can put them in the church today. That's why they can continue in their corruption today. Because they're reflectors and the blood is still there. God is still giving grace and God doesn't deal with them. He just lets them go on. Oh, my beloved brother, walk according to the scriptures. Walk according to godliness. Preach the word and get away from those kind of things. Run for your life and stay away from those things because the judgment of God is upon everyone, the Bible said, that does wrong. So then, that beast's body is a trinity. It's made up of three things. That's the bare feet. It's made up of the leopard body. It's made up of that head. Three unclean spirits. The Bible said that John saw this coming up out of the water. And he said it was people. Said the waters was people. And this great Superman that has that power comes up out of the midst of that great body of people, of nations and whatever. Coming up out of the water, that great evil power of government, of recreation, and of religion. And the body gets together, and what is the body? It is the beast. And who is the beast? All of them that are not sons and daughters of God. Are you listening? I said anything that's not a son of God, not a daughter of a God, it's a beast. It's the nearest thing to a son of God. It looks like a son of God. It talks like a son of God. It reflects God's blessings like a son of God. It does all the things that you do, but it's a beast. Somebody would say, well, I'm not a beast, Brother Pike, because a beast don't have a soul. The Bible said the beast have a soul, but said it goes down. So then, there is a beast in the world today. And what do? We either follow the beast, the lust and the passions of the flesh, and the things of this world, or we kill the beast by Calvary and we escape it by going into the wonderful heavenlies of God and going into the wonderful things of God. Is that right? We escape the body of the beast. The Bible said we deny ourselves. We put all of those things aside. We don't lean to our own understanding. They that belong to God have mortified the flesh with the deeds thereof. And the Bible said that we are not to have the mind of the world, because if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. See, the love of the world is one thing. The love of the Father is another thing. Isn't that right? Jesus said, my love is to be about my Father's business. Do you believe that ball games is the Father's business? I must be about my Father's business. How much time should I give to my flesh? Aside from that, the Bible said, meditating in His laws day and night, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. How can I have room for anything else if I do that, beloved friend? See, that beast is in the world today. That beast body is coming together, and when the membership of that beast body comes together, it's going to head up into that Superman called Antichrist. The same way with Christ, He's bringing all of His members together. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, members in particular. He's bringing them together and they're going to head up in that wonderful Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God is about to rend the veil one of these nights. I want to preach on rending the veil. I mentioned it here the first night we come into the service so that it would be in your mind. So that you'd know what I was saying when I said something about it. One of these nights we're going to preach on it. And folks, as we go on, we're going to bring out more concerning the beast and more concerning what he is. And you know what? When we get through, if you don't know what he is and where he is, you'll know all about him. You'll understand him and you'll know when he's around and you'll know what he's doing and you'll know just exactly how to get out of his way and how to evade him, because he's in the world today. Did you know that? He's in the world today. Have faith in God. Paul spoke about this wonderful thing called faith. Faith in the Word of God, not departing from the Word of God, not giving heed to seducing spirits, but listening to the wonderful Word of God. I want you to stand with me. There's a lot more I'd like to say tonight, and we should just go on and on in the wonderful mysteries of God and the wonderful great things of God to unveil and unveil. But there has to be a time when we stop so that you can go home. I know that you're pressed with necessity from time to time, and there's things that you have to do. You have to get up early. Sometimes Brother Pike might preach a little longer, he might preach a little shorter. I try my best to be as considerate as I can and kind of watch the anointing of God and that he would like to express, that I might be able to work with you and you work with me. But I want you to think these things over. As I say these things from night to night, whatever you do, think these things over. Think these things over. Don't come to some kind of thought or some kind of understanding or some kind of decision by not thinking these things over. Whatever you do, beloved friend, you think these things over. Because I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about dropping down into the flames of hell. I'm talking about escaping the flames of fire. You know, I say this a lot of times. I know that we are sovereign. We have our sovereignty. And I know God has made us that way. I know God doesn't press upon anybody to do anything. He'll let you do anything you want to. But because of this great sovereignty and this grace and this mercy that wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the blood, in that in the Old Testament he just swallowed them up like that when they would do wrong. But knowing this, knowing that we are a sovereignty, it still doesn't change the fact that God is not asking us to serve him. Are you listening? God is not saying, I have put you in the world and will you serve me? He is, to the extent that you have your sovereignty. If you call sovereignty going to hell, if you call having a sovereignty going to hell, then God said, I offer you a sovereignty. Are you listening, friend? If you call going to hell a sovereignty, then I say unto you tonight, you've got a sovereignty. You can either serve God or not. But according to the Bible, you can either serve God or go to hell. I don't call that much sovereignty to you. Peter on the day of Pentecost did not give an invitation saying, whoever will serve the Lord. The Bible said he commanded them to repent. So see, God is not saying to Brother Pike, will you? He said to me, the Holy Scripture said, Brother Pike, take time to be holy. He didn't ask me if I had time. Could I pull away from my busy schedule? He said, you take time to be holy. So then tonight he commands us to repent. And the Bible said, if we don't repent, we'll all likewise perish. There is no sovereignty, beloved friend, in the sense that you either repent or perish. You either serve God or go to hell. I don't call that much sovereignty. See, we are God's people. God made this world. He loved you. He loves me. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He so loved the world that he gave his Son to redeem it. But let's not misconstrue what he's saying. He did not so love the world in the condition that it's in today. He tells us not to love the world, therefore would he love the world? He tells us not to have the love of the world within us, therefore would he have the love of the world within him? He does not love the world as it is today. He loved the world as it was in that wonderful garden, in that wonderful land of Eden, as it was in the garden, the way he made it when it was pure and holy. He so loved the world that he determined in his heart he would purchase those that loved him by his own blood, and someday bring in the great millennium or the restoration of that garden that Adam and Eve was in and restore it back to that wonderful world that it was that he so loved. But in the world today, it's under a curse. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. He is the ruler of this darkness and of this world. Darkness means intellectual reasoning. So then, in this world today, God doesn't love it. He tells you to come out from the world, be a separate people. You're not even to have anything of the world except you get it through Christ. You seek the kingdom first, and he adds all of it to you as he brings it through the filter. Otherwise, it is under the curse. But if you'll seek God, he said, I'll give you all things. I want you to have the desire of your heart. I've raised you up for that purpose. I've created the world for you. But beloved friend, be dead to the world and the world dead to you until I can redeem it. Until I can get the curse off of it, until I can bring it back to its rightful state, and then you'll have it throughout eternity to enjoy, and it'll have you. But right at the present time, Paul said, I'm dead to the world by the body of Jesus, and the world dead to me by the body of Jesus. Come out from the world and be a separate people. Turn, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Tonight, beloved friend, you that have come out here to hear the gospel, if you come to hear the wonderful word of God tonight, lay these things to heart. Consider what Brother Pike is saying. Think these things over. Put it to the test. Run it through your mind. Go search the scriptures. And then come back again. Listen again. Take what we're saying and put it together. Did you know? Let me tell you something. If I am considered a false prophet, if I'm not preaching the truth, and if you feel that you are God's man or God's prophet, then it is your duty to come out here night after night to listen to what I'm saying. But it's your duty to come out here. You know why? You should listen to what I say so that you can carefully blast me with both barrels. And you can go back and take those people and say, folks, you listen to me and I'll tear him apart and I'll show you where he's wrong. You should listen to every bit of it. Because if you're going to be a prophet, you need to be a good one. Isn't that right? And if a man's going to be a false prophet, he needs to be a bad one. He really needs to know what he's doing. But I'll tell you what, I promise you, if you come out here and if you are a sincere man or woman, and you got a sincere heart, I guarantee you when you leave, you'll believe what Brother Pike preached. You'll believe the Word of God. And you'll go your way into Eden or wherever you come from. And you'll say, Lord, I thank God for these wonderful things. Let me talk about Jesus and the wonderful Word of God. Because God needs you tonight to do that. We ask the Lord to use us. He wants to use us. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Oh, come into my heart. Sing it with me. Oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing one more time with me? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. How old Brother Taylor's playing on the organ tonight? You're a lovely audience every night. The people of Eden have been a lovely audience. They've listened. There's not been very many, if any, that has been ugly, having an ugly attitude, or having an ugly disposition, or trying to interrupt the service. Maybe there's been a little interruption in the sense some did not understand, and that moving around does interrupt the service. But knowing that people are pressed with necessity, they have to go to the restrooms, they have to go in and out, there's reasons for it. Sometimes people have to go to their jobs, and I understand, and then there's people that don't want to hear the truth. But on the other hand, people in general have been very wonderful people, very courteous. For this, God will bless you, because the Bible tells us that we're to be like that, that we're to reverence God's house, and we're to reverence God's word, and this way we bring long life, and we bring blessings. He tells us that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and that we're to come into his courts with praise. God tells us that we are to do this. And of course, that's the way that you've been doing. That's the way that we've tried to do here. And from night to night, I trust that the enthusiasm for Christ will arise and raise greater and greater. Tonight, while he's playing on the organ, I want you to step out tonight. And I want you to come down here before the altars tonight, as we've done from night to night. And I want you to do it, you know, not wait. The Bible said the king's matter requires haste. And those that are leaders and those that want to be leaders to do something for God, what better way could you be a leader? What better place could you lead people to than to the altars of Christ? knowing that they become jewels in your crown if you are responsible, and knowing that you, if you influence their mind to come to the right things, that you are laying up jewels. Did you know that jewels can be in your crown? You say, Brother Pike, what kind of crown are you talking about? God just gives one kind of crown in this kind that I'm speaking of. It's called the crown of life. He crowns your soul with everlasting living. And that means that throughout eternity, that living that's all around you and in you, that everyone that you bring to God will be in the land of the living and be around you in that living. And they'll live around you, and you'll look at them, and they'll outshine the noonday sun. And they'll be beautiful jewels, for God said, when I come to make up my jewels, I'll remember you. And they'll be jewels in your crown of life. And when you look around, you'll see that sparkling, radiant jewel that you had God to place there because you led it to the wonderful way of Christ Jesus. So tonight, I want you to ride hurriedly, to be quick in the Master's business. Step out right now. Will you do that? Step out, brother, sister, right now. Come right on down to the altar right now and let God do something for you tonight. While they're praying on the organ tonight, and while we're speaking in the name of Jesus tonight, while we're beckoning to you by the great, loving Holy Spirit tonight, we're asking you to come down. You say, Brother Pike, I'm not a Christian. That's even the more reason why you should come down. You say, but Brother Pike, how can I praise God if I am not a Christian? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God. He's made it possible through the grace that's on the throne today. And how can I do anything for God? You can come and give your heart to God tonight. You say, I'm already a Christian, Brother Pike. Then Peter said, though you know these things, I feel to tell you all over again so that you can stir up your pure mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know these things, then I feel to tell you again that you might come down and renew your covenant with God and renew your walk with God. Follow the course of Christ Jesus, our Savior. What a wonderful, exciting experience it is tonight to do something for Jesus. It's a great, wonderful thing tonight. I get excited in my heart and in my soul, and I'm sure that you get excited in your heart and soul because this is a wonderful, exciting thing. There's nothing to be compared to it. What can you get that you can compare to this? The Bible asks us the question, what can you give in exchange for your soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul, beloved friend? There is nothing that you can give God that He will give you your soul back. Once you lose your soul, there is nothing that you can give in exchange for your soul. Once your soul is gone, it is gone, and there is nothing that you can do. But tonight you have the opportunity. Tonight you're in the land of the living. Tomorrow you may be gone. I remember preaching a service one night, and I looked over to my right, and there was a man sitting on my right over there. I tried my best to get him to come to the altar. I preached, and I tried to get him to come to the altar because I felt conviction seize him. But he would not come to the altar, and God dealt with my heart. And I thought that man should have come to the altar tonight for sure. Did you know before noon the next day, the best I remember, I was looking on the man's face in a coffin. He was dead. Through the night, apparently, he had passed away or something had happened. The man had gone out to meet God, whether prepared or whatever, he had gone out to meet God. Remember, if a person is not a Christian, when death seizes that individual, when the grim reaper comes, or when you press your death pillow, if you are not a Christian, you will go into hell. There's no soft way of saying it. There's no gentle approach. Hell is a real place. The Bible said the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and he said, I'm tormented in these flames. Somebody says, that's a parable, Brother Pike. I know it's a parable, but the Bible said, without a parable spake he not unto the people. Just because you're speaking a parable, that doesn't mean the thing isn't real. You're just reaching back, getting something here, bringing it out in a parabolic form. But hell is a real place. And the Bible says that even after the millennium, that the wicked dead comes back out of the graves. And even though hell is not eternal, yet there's one thing you need to remember. Though hell itself is not eternal, in that the Bible said that hell will give up its dead, and that hell and the dead shall be cast into the lake of fire. That will be the end of hell, and that will be the end of the dead, but that won't be the end of the lake of fire. For the Bible said, where the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not, and the Bible said, eternal flames. So then,
There is a place for the wicked. There is a place for the wicked, but there's also a place for the righteous. The Bible said, Lazarus, who had laid at the rich man's gate, bearing those sores and the dogs licking the sores in misery, all of a sudden, the rich man looking up across that great gulf, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he said, Father Abraham, I can see you. I can see you. The Bible said, and these will be tormented in the presence of the saints of God day and night, or without end. And he said, I can see Lazarus in your bosom. And he's so comforted. Father, would you let Lazarus just dip his finger in just a little bit of water and come down here and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. I am tormented in these flames. And Abraham said, remember, in your lifetime you had the good things. Isn't that right? Said Lazarus likewise had the bad things, and said Lazarus was tormented while you was comforted. Said now it's all changed. And said, now Lazarus is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides that, there is a great gulf between you and I. And if I so desired that Lazarus should come to you, there is no way that I could do it. For no one can pass from that place over the gulf to us, or from here over the gulf to you. So, beloved friend, tonight, let's think about repentance. Let's think about Christ. If your heart isn't right with God tonight, then I ask you to make that great commitment tonight. Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the great day. While you bow your heads with me tonight, if you've not made the great commitment to God tonight, make the great commitment. How wonderful it would be if Brother Pike could stand there on that great day and I could look around and say, oh, hallelujah, there are those people from Eden. Glory to God, there they stand. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you could stand there before God and say, glory to God, that preacher that came to Eden, he made it. He's standing over there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, tonight, let's join together in faith and let's lift our hearts up. And let's not believe anything but the Word of God, because there is no faith but the Word of God. There is no life but His Word. My words are spirit and they are life. And to have faith in that is to have eternal life. And outside of that, there is no life. So then let's lift our hearts up. Let's lift our eyes up. Let's close our eyes tonight. Lift our hearts up to God. Let's lift our hands up. I say this so often, that reminds God of Jesus hanging at Calvary. When he sees those hands, he said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. God's made them holy tonight. And he said, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting tonight. And if you've never had an experience with God and you've never given your heart to God, now is the acceptable time. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I don't know whether I can do it tonight or not. I don't know whether it's my time or not. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. This very day is the day of salvation. There's no certain time. Today is the day of salvation. And you say, when is the time? The Bible said, now is the accepted time. Now grace is here. The blood is on the seat of atonement. Now is the accepted time. If you want to serve God, brother, you don't have to wait. Sister, you don't have to wait. Now is that hour. Now is that time. And if you wait, it may be too late. So tonight, as you lift your hands up and love the Lord, let's just lift our hands up and praise God tonight, in that God is the Spirit and God inhabits the praise of His people. Let's praise God tonight. Let's love God tonight. And let's call on God tonight. The Bible said, call upon Him while He's near. Let's seek God while He can be found. Let's call on Him tonight and ask God to bless us tonight, and ask God to save us tonight. Ask God to fill us with His Spirit tonight, and ask God to save the people around us tonight. Ask God to save our loved ones tonight, and ask God to save the people of Eden and the people of the world tonight. Can you do that with me tonight as you lift your hearts up? Father God of heaven, I call upon Your name tonight. I ask You to stretch out Your hand to save tonight. Oh God, here under this tent, I ask You to stretch out Your hand to heal tonight. I ask You to break every yoke tonight. May the great, wonderful Spirit of God be here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I ask You to move by the Spirit of Jesus Christ here tonight. Father, may the blessings of God come down, and may every yoke be broken tonight. May the healing power of God be here in the wonderful Holy Ghost. May people be filled with the Holy Ghost in this meeting, Father. May they feel the wonderful indwelling of the great Holy Spirit. And may they lift their voices in praise and their hearts in faith tonight. I ask You to bless tonight, or I ask You to heal tonight, or I ask You to save tonight.
Oh, God of heaven, give us a moving of your spirit tonight. Father, let the wonderful power of God be here in Eden tonight. Oh, Father, let thy spirit be here in the hearts of these people tonight. May you heal tonight. May you move tonight. May your spirit, oh God, come down here tonight and every yoke be broken. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah tonight? Can you say hallelujah tonight? The Bible said to praise God. Let's lift up our hands and praise God tonight. Father, we praise you tonight for your blessings. We praise you tonight for your spirit. We praise you tonight, Father, for the wonderful spilled blood of Jesus yonder at Calvary and for the wonderful touch of that great, wonderful God of heaven and of earth. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, move by your power tonight and heal tonight. Move by your spirit tonight and save tonight, Father. Break every yoke and give us a revival here. Oh, God, that will stir our hearts tonight and stir the hearts of the people. I ask you to do it in the wonderful name of your lovely child, Jesus, tonight. Giving you the glory and the honor and the praise, oh, God, for the wonderful opportunity of feeling the great, wonderful Spirit of God tonight and for feeling the blessings and power of your wonderful spilled blood. Have your way tonight. Help us, Father, tonight as we love you. Help us tonight as we look to you. Help us tonight as we move into the Spirit, Father, as we give our hearts into the Spirit, as we give our bodies to be holy in body and in spirit as you've commanded us in the Holy Word, Father. Let our bodies be holy tonight too. I ask you to do it in Jesus' wonderful name. I want you to sing this little chorus with me tonight, can you? Let's sing this song, Enter Into His Gates with Thanksgiving. Can we do that? I'm gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter God's gates with praise. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm gonna rejoice for he hath made me glad. Can you say it with me? Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Yes, Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Now sing it with me now. We're gonna enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter God's court with praise. And I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad, oh, Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. One more time. Going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter these courts with praise. Now I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Yes, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Just one more time now. Oh, enter God's gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter God's court with praise. We're going to say this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Ain't you glad tonight? Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing that one more time and let's praise God tonight, can we? I'm going to enter God's gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter these courts with praise. And I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Hallelujah! I feel God tonight, don't you? I feel the freedom of God tonight. And I feel that God has made me glad tonight, and I can tell God has made you glad tonight. The Bible said serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And the Bible said there was great joy in that city because God was in that city. Wouldn't you like to see great joy in the city of Eden tonight? Wouldn't you like to see a revival break out in the Carolinas that would sweep the world tonight? Hallelujah. You know, years ago there was a revival that broke out in the Carolinas that swept the world. And tonight I'd love to see another spring out of this little Garden of Eden and go around the world tonight. Wouldn't you like to see that? Let's sing it one more time, can we? I'm going to enter those gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter God's with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Hallelujah. You know, if they can do that at the ball game, why can't we do it for God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. If they can do it out there and they can shout and they can sing, why can't we shout and sing to God? Hallelujah. You know, you take the celebrities that wouldn't lift their voice for nothing. You take the dignified that wouldn't get out of shape at all. But you get them out there to those things of the world, the races and whatever, and they'll holler their lungs out almost. So tonight, let's lose a little bit of dignity and a little bit of starch and a little bit of pride and get down to earth tonight and praise God tonight and love the Lord. Can you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God tonight. Praise God. We've got some Baptists here and we've got some Presbyterian here and we've got some Church of Christ here and I think we've got a little Catholic here and we've got some Pentecostals here and we've got all kinds of people tonight. Let's love the Lord. Can we do that tonight? One more time we'll sing this and then we'll change the order of the service. Can we do it? I'm going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter God's courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Sing with me now. Oh, He hath made me glad. Yes, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Can you rejoice? Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing tonight to be glad, folks. You know, just to breathe a deep breath and feel the wonderful healing air of God and feel the presence of the Lord Jesus, knowing that you are children of the resurrection. How many of you believe that you're children of the resurrection? Let me see your hand tonight. You believe you're a child of the resurrection tonight? Hallelujah. The Bible said, if you're a child of the resurrection, if this Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall also by his Spirit quicken your mortal body. This mortal body. You know the Bible said, be holy in body and in spirit. We want the Lord to use us. Let's be holy in body and in spirit tonight. Can we? Do you love the Lord tonight? All right, let's sing this chorus together. We're just going to sing one or two choruses and I'm going to let you go. All right? Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came, saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. All right, listen now. Let us praise him. Oh, praise him. Praise him in the morning and praise him at the noontime. Praise him. Let us praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down, oh, heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. Try it again now. Oh, let us praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning and praise him at the noontime. Wanna praise him, I'm going to praise him.
New Jersey, her brother's got cancer in both lungs, and she's going up there tonight after service, and also she's got sugar and got a terrible toenail. She wants prayer for him and her.
Okay. Can you praise him tonight while we pray for this sister tonight? Let's praise God tonight. I feel God here tonight. Don't you feel God here? I feel God will heal. I feel God will save. I feel God will break the yokes. God will cast out devils tonight. If we'll praise God and believe God, God will do something tonight. Let's pray with this sister tonight. While you're singing, praise God, let us pray. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to look down from heaven tonight. And this wonderful spirit of your Son, oh, hallelujah, even the spirit that's resurrected from the dead, Father, even the Son of God tonight, Father, in your lovely name, I want you to heal tonight. I want you to do away with whatever the problem is in this life and heart tonight. I want you to look down yonder, Lord, and touch that man, Father, and heal tonight. Father, kill that cancer germ tonight. God, do away with it as you have in the past. Father, heal tonight. I want you to heal tonight. In the name of Jesus, I want you to heal tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you praise him? Oh, let us praise him. Oh, let us praise him. Praise him in the morning and praise him at the noontime. I want to praise him. I want to praise him. I'm going to praise him when the sun is going down. Sing it again. Oh, let us love him. Love him, let us love him in the morning. Love him at the noontime. I'm gonna love him. I'm gonna love him. Want to love him when the sun is going down. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes with me tonight? You know, what we need to do, beloved friend, is to love the Lord and praise the Lord and invite the Lord into our midst. And God will heal our sick bodies and God will deliver our oppressed minds and God will drive away the harassing spirits. And you'll be glad, oh, you'll be glad, you'll be glad. Hallelujah. There's a stream. There's a stream. It comes down from heaven and it makes the city of God glad. You'll be glad tonight. I wonder if you're glad tonight. Serving God makes you glad tonight, folks. I wonder if you're glad tonight. I wonder if you can feel that great, wonderful power of God and that Spirit of God that's here tonight. Can you feel it tonight? Can you feel the moving of the Spirit? Can you feel the yoke broken? Can you feel it tonight? I wonder tonight if you can feel that wonderful power of God. that's moving, that same wonderful spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Can you feel it tonight? Don't you feel the old broken tonight? Hallelujah. We can testify about God. We can love the Lord. God will heal you tonight. Oh, God wants you healed tonight. Don't you believe that? God doesn't want you sick tonight. God wants you well tonight. How can you praise God if you're not well, beloved friend? How can you love God if you don't feel good? Just turn loose and believe God. Just turn loose and believe God. Just turn loose and believe God. Just believe God for your healing tonight. Believe God for your salvation tonight. Believe God for whatever you desire tonight. I preach to you tonight that Word of God, that substance, that evidence. Hold on to it tonight. Receive it tonight. Take that faith tonight. You know, beloved friend, you can have anything you want tonight. If you want them loved ones saved tonight, then have faith in God tonight. God will bring it to pass. The devil may harass them. The devil may cause them to wonder here and there. But God will keep His Word. God will keep His Word. Hold on to God tonight. Pray tonight. God will bring them in. God will heal that body. God will turn loose everything to you tonight that He owns. Everything. He'll open the windows of heaven to you tonight. God will give it to you tonight. Hallelujah. Make you ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Make you to be like a tree that's planted by the water. Bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves won't wither. Whatever you do shall prosper. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and addeth no sorrow. He'll give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in Him. God loves you tonight. God loves you tonight. God loves you tonight. Brother, sister, if God loved you so much, He gave the best thing that heaven could afford, which was Jesus, you know there's nothing else He'd hold back from you. Isn't that right? If God would give you the best thing first, what would He have that He would hold back from you? If He'd give you His only Son, you know He'll give you anything He's got. Isn't that right? Think about it tonight. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you tonight. He wants you to be happy tonight. He wants you to heal. He wants to heal you tonight. He wants to fill you with the power and the blessing of God tonight. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah again. Say hallelujah again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought tonight. Glory to God. While you've got your hands lifted up and I feel the blessings of God here tonight, I want to ask God to heal you. Just before we dismiss tonight, I want to ask God to do something for you. Will you lift your hands up, beloved friend, tonight? Let me pray for you. I believe God wants to do something for us in these meetings and in this revival. But to be able to, for God to do that, we've got to let go. We've got to turn loose. We sang that song, Let Go and Let God Have His Wonderful Way. You know, David was pressed one time. He was real downcast. He couldn't do anything. He was tore up. The enemy was against him, and he's backed off in a little cave or something over there. And David didn't know what to do. David said, son, I'm still. God said, David, I'm still with you, son. Don't worry, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Said, now, David, just don't worry. Said, I'm going to give you a sign now. Said, you all cast down. You think you can't defeat the enemy? But he said, David, when you hear the rustling in the mulberry tree, you'll know the move is on. Oh, brother David, he nestled down and he waited. And after a while, when that thing started rustling in that mulberry tree, David got the courage like a lion. He come out of that thing a-roaring, as we would say, and he got his armies together. And David come back dancing and a-singing before the Ark of the Covenant, saying that I run through a troop and leaped over a wall by the strength of God. Hallelujah. All you got to do is get the strength of God. If you can't do it, just do it anyway. The Bible said, do all you can to stand. Then when you can't stand, stand anyway. In the strength and the power of my might. Hallelujah. You can do it. You can do it, brother. You can do it, sister. Don't let the devil tell you can't do it. We've done it all around the world. You can do it. Hallelujah. You can do it in the face of all kind of opposition. You can do it. Glory to God. You can do it. Financial problems, you can do it. Physical problems, you can do it. Mental problems, you can do it. You can do it. Lift your hands up and close your eyes and let's pray just for a few minutes. What a wonderful thought tonight. What a wonderful peace. We sing that song, peace. Peace like a river. Peace. What a wonderful peace in my spirit and soul tonight. Peace. Wonderful peace. Hallelujah. What a wonderful peace there is in my soul tonight. Oh, what a depth. What a peace. That glorious peace. Oh, don't you love Jesus tonight? Jesus loves you tonight. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only one that's heir to the throne of the Father. And He's in your heart. And because He's in your heart, You are heir to the glory of God. Oh, I believe in the miraculous. I believe in God. I believe in the wonderful blessings of God. He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. Let that ring in your heart. God loves you tonight. Hallelujah. He loves you. If God so loved you while you were out in sin, how much more does He love you now that you're trying to do His will? He loved you enough then to let Jesus die for you. How much does He love you now that you're trying to do the thing that pleases Him? Oh, He loves you tonight, beloved friend. Believe in that. Anchor your faith in that love tonight. That's the only thing that faith can rest in, is the love and mercy of God. Anchor it in the love and mercy of God, and you can't go wrong. You'll have the thing that you desire. While you've got your heads bowed tonight, while your hands are lifted up toward heaven tonight, I feel God here blessing us. And I feel the Lord wanting to heal and God wanting to save. And I want to pray a prayer tonight. I want to pray it for you. I want you to believe in it. Believe as we pray, beloved friend. Believe. The Bible said when you pray, believe. The secret is to believe. When you pray, you must believe. Believe. Just trust Him. Just throw yourself out there in His arms and say, God, I don't care what my human understanding says, my feelings say. I don't care what nobody says. For God's loving sake, I'm going to have what I expect from God, and I'm going to throw myself out there on you, and I'm accepting it. You said it. I believe it. It's mine. Glory, hallelujah. All the promises are yeah and amen. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the wonderful blessing of God. I can feel faith here tonight. Somebody's got faith in God tonight. I can tell it. Somebody's touching the throne of God tonight. I can tell it. You know I'm telling the truth because you can tell it too. There's a response on the other end like the little boy with the kite. He's got that string in his hand. He might not can see it, but he knows it's up there. He knows it's up there. He knows he's got the connection, folks. Glory to God. He knows that connection is up there tonight. Hallelujah. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, by the wonderful spirit of your great wonderful power, by your lovely name, my Father, penetrating the powers of darkness and moving up to the throne by the blood of Jesus, coming boldly in His lovely name by your righteousness, I ask you to honor the faith of these people tonight. Father God of heaven, the only righteous one, God, I want you to stretch out your hand tonight. And I want you to touch these people tonight. And I want you to lift their hearts up in faith tonight. Father, break through the barriers. Father, break through the barriers. Let the light penetrate. And oh God, I want you to heal tonight. I want you to heal tonight. I want your hand to go out over these people tonight. And I want you to heal these sick bodies. I want you to heal cancer. I want you to kill the germ, Father. I want you to heal tonight. And I want you to forgive sins tonight. And I want you to save souls tonight. I want you to do something in a great, wonderful way tonight. Father, heal these people. Father, bless these people tonight. Father, bring prosperity to these people. And oh God, let them walk that wonderful way of God. Lord God of heaven, you said you would above all things that we prosper, and you would above all things that we be in health. Oh God, even as our soul prospers, I want you to bring that threefold blessing tonight. That wonderful physical blessing of health. And God, that wonderful spiritual blessing of enlightenment. And that wonderful natural blessing to give us the things through life, Father, that's necessitated by this life and that makes us joyful and happy in this world. I want you to give them to us, Father. May you heal and may you forgive and may you bless tonight. And may every person that leaves here tonight, Father, may they leave with the thought it is good to have been in the house of God. Can you hear me tonight, Father? I know you can by the blood. So I want you to answer back from heaven to touch these spirits and heal in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Lift your hands up and love Him tonight. Do you believe God heard that prayer? I believe that God heard that prayer tonight. I really believe that God heard that prayer. Tonight I'm going to ask Brother Michael back here on the drum to get the mic and come up here, and I'm going to get him to pray the closing prayer with you tonight. You know, the Bible said there was war in heaven and Michael came forth and he got the old red dragon, as we would say, by the tail and throwed him out. So tonight we're going to ask Michael to come up here while the devil's making war and the saints of God can get with him and throw the devil out. You want to do that tonight? Lift your hands up and let's love the Lord for just a few minutes and we'll let you go. Come on up here, Mike. If you will, can you pray with the people? Will you lift your hands up? Close your eyes tonight as our brother Michael prays with you. Will you do that tonight? Let's just love Jesus tonight for just a moment, folks.